Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, last evening we shared the first part of a message that many folks found very challenging, but I hope many also found it very helpful. The encouragement that comes from having a biblical perspective is pretty wonderful, because when you know that God is on the throne, that He's in control, current events don't shake you up so much. So I hope that as you listen to the second half of the message that we began last evening, you'll find it very encouraging and uplifting. Let us hear from you. So, in Daniel 2, after the king has said all the wise men are to be destroyed, all of them are to be killed, he ordered the execution, verse 12, of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Talk about pressure at work. Hostile job environment? What do you think? When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house, explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, the reason I'm giving you this background that you've read before and heard before is because I want you to understand who Daniel was dealing with. Okay? He's dealing with a murderous psycho. Got it? That's an important backdrop for what he's going to say when he appears before him. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision, and then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them." Say that with me. He sets up kings and deposes them. Please realize that. Whoever is ruling is not a surprise to God. And it's not outside of God's sovereign control. Whether you like the ruler or not, even if the ruler is there as a judgment, that's still somebody God put in place. And God can remove them like that. Now, He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and power. You've made known to me what we asked of You. You've made known to us the dream of the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I'll interpret his dream for him." Now this blows my mind. Daniel could have had the job all to himself. I mean, those other wise men, they were bad guys. Okay? I mean, not Daniel's three friends, but most of the wise men of Babylon were sorcerers. They were wicked, evil people, and Daniel asked for mercy for them too. That's remarkable. I would have been happy to see them wiped out because I'm not a nice guy like Daniel. But Daniel says, spare them. And by the way, those guys whose lives he saved are going to try and do Daniel in later on. Just so you know. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, get this, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he's asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown me what this is all about. Is that what he said? No. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come. The revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. How did that sound to a guy who's a total egomaniac? He didn't say, God revealed it to me. He says, oh, I'm not your rival. God revealed this to you. God revealed this to you, O king.
Well, thank you. Go on.
Now, by the way, it wasn't just some flattering thing. This is what the Lord gave him to say. But he had wisdom to say it in a way that would be very respectful and honoring to the king. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Hey, man, this is for you. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron, partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, I'm sorry. He didn't pause there, but I have to. You understand what God is saying here? His kingdom is forever. All these earthly kingdoms, they're going away. We need to remember that before we get bent out of shape about what's going on in current events. This is all temporary stuff, and God is in control. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering horribly for their faith in Jesus Christ, and that is much more important than what happened on Wall Street today. Amen? We need to know that whatever happens with trade wars is not nearly as significant as spiritual warfare that we're supposed to be engaged in wearing the full armor of God. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This was the dream, and now we'll interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he's made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. This guy was a bad man. He was a bad, bad man. Just read what the Bible says about Nebuchadnezzar. He was a bad guy. But he was God's chosen instrument for bringing judgment on God's people.
You say, so are you saying then that, like, maybe Trump is a bad man, but God's using him to bring judgment on God's people?
I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he was talking about Obama, but why would he talk about Obama now? Okay. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying God is on the throne, and all the little pieces on the chessboard are under his control. And so regardless of who's in the White House, and regardless of who's chairman of the Fed, and regardless of who's the head of whatever corporation is the boogeyman right now, regardless of Putin, regardless of whoever you want to name, God is working out his purpose. And if we get bent out of shape about who's doing what, instead of seeing that God's kingdom is growing and going to fill the whole earth, I guarantee it. I will just say this. Mr. Trump seems not only to be older than I am, but to still have more energy than I do. It's very impressive. Very impressive. But I guarantee you, within 50 years, he will be pushing up daisies. Okay?
Can you say that? I mean, the man's only in his 70s.
Yeah, I can say that. Within 50 years, he'll be gone. Okay? If he's elected to a second term, he still only gets one more.
Well, no, I read that he's planning a national emergency so that we won't have any more elections. He's going to just be the new permanent dictator of this country.
Well, you're reading nonsense, okay? That's crazy stuff.
Well, I wish he could be president. No one else has done what he's done for the economy. And, I mean, you look at the unemployment figures, and it's...
Do you understand? Whoever's president is a human being. They are a finite creature. They do some things right. They do some things wrong. But God's the one who puts them in office.
No, I think it's a problem with the Electoral College.
No. Thank God for the Electoral College. I don't want California deciding every election. Especially when they think it's wrong to limit the vote to citizens. There, I said it. Here's the thing. It really doesn't matter.
Well, yes, it does. I mean, those people advocate this and they advocate that. I'm against those things, and I think any good Christian should be against those things too.
Well, I agree with you. And I am against those things, too. But I'm not going to watch news programs that get me all riled up because that's the entire intent so that I have to watch the commercial, which is what all the networks exist for. They're not there to inform you. They're there to inflame you, because the more excited they can get you and the greater your sense of urgency about whatever they're talking about, whether it's a cat in a tree in San Diego or whatever, the better the chances that you'll watch the commercial. And that's where they get their money. And I'll tell you what the god of every network is. Mammon. The dollar bill. That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus didn't say you can't serve this God or this God or this God or this God and God. He said you can't serve God and mammon. Because all the rest of it is just window dressing. Now, I want to ask you a question. Just quick survey here. How many of you think that greed has been a major, major force behind whichever political party you don't identify with? Right? I mean, wouldn't you say that those people, the reason they vote that way is because of greed? You know? That's the reason they vote that way. That's what both parties say about each other. And it's not because one of them's right and one of them's wrong. It's true of both.
Well, no, there are people who vote the way they do because of concern about other things.
I agree, but that's not the dominant theme. That's not the dominant theme. Those are the things that they sell to get people like me to go to the polls and vote. They'll talk to me about this because they know I care about that. But the driving force of both parties is we will give you more ice cream than they will. That's what it comes down to. So what I'm saying is we need to stop feeling self-righteous, start being repentant, and meanwhile, look at how God had Daniel speak to Nebuchadnezzar. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he's made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. I'm just telling you, if I saw somebody saying that to some rulers, not to mention any names, I would think that they were just way out of line. How dare you say that? Pastor, I don't want to be rude here, especially in front of other people, but let me just point out to you that we do not live in Babylon. We are a democratic republic, and we are responsible for how we vote. I'm glad you understand that. You are exactly right. But I want you to understand that no matter where you are, geographically or historically or politically, it is vitally important to realize that God is the one who raises up rulers and disposes of them. God does it. God's in charge. And if you lose sight of that, then you've lost sight of an essential truth. If you know that God's in charge, then whether you're in Babylon or in Sri Lanka or in Pakistan or in Turkey or in Israel or in Jordan or in Egypt or anywhere else on earth, even Venezuela, which is a place we ought to be praying for because there's horrible suffering going on down there. And there are neighbors. Wherever we're talking about, we need to be appealing to the one who can do something about it. We need to be crying out to God and saying, Lord, have mercy. Please draw people to yourself through this. Because the most important thing is not how they live the next 6 months. The most important thing is where they're going to spend forever. That's what matters the most. And that should be our first concern. And that should be our first concern about our fellow citizens here in this country. I am so thankful that unemployment among minorities is at historic lows. I think that's great. I really do. I honestly rejoice in that. But I'll tell you something. In 150 years, all the people who have gotten jobs in the last 2 years are going to be long dead. And the most important thing, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try and work to promote good jobs. I'm saying if that's where it stops, it's all for nothing. We work with kids at the ranch who are coming out of very, very difficult, generally traumatic situations. And we introduce them to a kind of life that they have generally never encountered before. Okay? I mean, it is wildly different from what they grew up with. They don't all respond the same. But if they learn good manners and good hygiene and a good work ethic and they get a good education and they go out and they live in a good neighborhood and drive a good car to and from a good job and they don't yield their lives to Jesus Christ, it's just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Because every child who comes through the ranch is going to die. Every one of them. And if they die not knowing Jesus, that is an absolute tragedy. If one of the kids who comes to the ranch ends up on drugs and in jail and there meets Jesus, that's a praise the Lord. And if one of the kids who comes to the ranch ends up valedictorian at his state university and becomes the governor of Tennessee or Georgia, apparently almost anyone can be elected, or almost elected, depending on your persuasion. If a person becomes the governor of their state, and then they become the president of the United States, and they die not knowing Jesus, it's an absolute tragedy. So, the message tonight is an appeal to look beyond present circumstances and controversies and to realize that what really, really matters is the one thing that's going to remain, and that's the kingdom of God. All the rest of the kingdoms are going to crumble. It's all going to come down. We read in the book of Hebrews that our God is a consuming fire, and he has promised that he's going to shake the earth one final time. And when he does, it's going to involve the removal of all created things. And the only thing that's going to remain is his kingdom, which cannot be shaken. So, with that in mind, whatever happens on Wall Street is okay if you know God's in control. And whatever happens politically, it's okay. Might not be pleasant, but it's okay, as long as you know God's in control. And whatever happens with our health, it's okay, as long as we know that God's in control. You certainly know what it is. You get bad news and you realize God's in charge. God's in charge. I'm okay, because I'm held by a loving Father who has all power and all authority, and therefore, I don't have to be afraid. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Do we believe that? We recite it. We need to believe it. And if we believe it, there may be neighbors who will say, why aren't you upset? How are you calm? Didn't you see the news? And you can say, our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially.
We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.